sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my feet, of God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Fellow Defending Father Rusty Chatfield has a history lesson for us today. Alexander Hamilton versus Thomas Jefferson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. So both Hamilton and Jefferson are definitely, you consider them founding fathers, founding brothers. Okay. But boy, they had some disagreements that turned very bitter. And so let me walk you through that. Alexander Hamilton was born in the British West Indies, January 11th, 1755. He was born out of wedlock. He had a Scottish father, a half-French mother, who had left her husband but had never been divorced. And so he was born out of wedlock in the British West Indies. He came to New York as a young boy, but was very bright. He had a good education, even though he was born out of wedlock. His mother took care of him and his father, but he couldn't, kind of a long story here. They never did get married, Hamilton's father and mother, and things like that happened back then, still happen today. But that was kind of a noose around his neck to some measure. I mean, he would be considered a bastard child. Back in those days, it was a big deal. Came to New York City, very bright, and he was young, but he was a proponent of the American Revolution, and he joined the military. He worked with, right next to George Washington, on the crossing of the Delaware. He was on one of those boats to cross the Delaware. When Washington was besieging Yorktown, 1781. He was with Washington, who was very loyal secretary to George Washington. Now, Thomas Jefferson was different. He was born in Virginia in a plantation, or very wealthy, April 13, 1743. And he grew up very wealthy and was the Virginia for a while, the governor of Virginia. He was the author of the Declaration of Independence. Jefferson was soft-spoken, but very smart, very articulate, a good writer. And as you've heard me talk about, he's the principal author of the Declaration of Independence. He, along with Ben Franklin, John Adams, Livingston, were all authors of the Declaration of Independence. But he's the principal author. So both supported the revolution.
I want to get clarification on that real quick. Because what you've said this before, they actually formed a committee to sit down and prepare thoughts, ideas, a draft. But it was Jefferson who actually put it to pen.
Correct. And Adams could have done it. Adams was the most vocal at the convention. But he was so hyper sometimes. He considered himself not well-loved. And he needed somebody from Virginia, the largest state, a southern state, to write the Declaration. And Adams said to Jefferson, "You're 10 times better writer than I am." I don't know if that's exactly true, 10 times better, but he was a great writer, Jefferson was. And Adams was a good writer, but not as good as Jefferson, having a way with words. So Jefferson got that honor. He did it, and the committee and the whole Second Continental Convention changed a few words, took out all references to slavery. But that's the background of Jefferson and Hamilton.
Very good. We'll take a short break. More with Pastor Chatfield, Alexander Hamilton, and Thomas Jefferson. Short break. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Michigan needs to be fixed. Axe My Tax is a citizens' ballot initiative that would eliminate all property taxes in Michigan. Stop the theft of our homes, farms, and businesses by corrupt governmental entities and their outrageous spending. Help us make Michigan affordable to businesses and families once again. Go to axemytax.org, sign the petition, circulate petitions, and donate to help us fix our great state. Stop the stealing that's going on in Lansing. Join us. Go to axemytax.org.
Smith & Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith & Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm, except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith & Call 231-838-5571.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Okay, Rusty Chatfield waiting for Randy to get back.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. History lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield today regarding two of our founding fathers. And one thing that you mentioned that I want to expound on a little bit, they had two kind of different political philosophies. I'm sure you're going to get into that discussion. But Jeffersonian liberalism, Thomas Jefferson, classical liberal versus a, like you call it, a federalist, somebody who wants the federal government to do more of a role in the formation of our government. I'm sure that's where you're going next. But my question is this, Pastor Jeffield, Where did those philosophies come from? As you know these two men and you've looked at their history, their background, like you just described, their education levels and things like that, why was it they were so different in their political ideology?
Okay. One, let me say, when if you say a classical liberal, that's far different than a modern liberal, right? We all understand that.
Absolutely.
And when we say that, and I'll say that Alexander Hamilton favored a stronger central government and Thomas Jefferson did not. That is true. But you can't take that in modern terms as if Hamilton wanted a welfare state. No, it's just completely different. Back in the day, when we were writing the Constitution, it's just different arguments. Yes, in my view, we needed the Articles of Confederation were not strong enough. We needed a Constitution with some so that the central government would have an executive and enforce the laws and we needed a national bank. In my view, we needed to become a commercial, economic, financial power, as Hamilton saw, as Jefferson didn't see. And there's arguments on both sides of these things. Now, exactly why one went kind of one way and the other, it's, I don't know exactly. I find it ironic that Hamilton, an illegitimate child, worked his way up in New York City by his own merit and then was a hardworking, brilliant scholar. He would favor a stronger government. He was not all opposed even to a constitutional monarchy.
Where did he get that from?
From studying history. Now, on the other hand, Jefferson, who grew up very wealthy and privileged and was very intelligent, he wanted more power to the people. And he didn't
actually more power to the states
and to the people.
And to the people, per the 10th Amendment, which came, but ultimately that's what his position was. He wanted the states and he wanted the people of those states to basically control Washington so it would not grow into this big behemoth it's grown to today.
Okay. That's what I mean by taking our 21st century and then applying it back then. It was just a different argument at the time.
Right. They're literally writing the rule book for the federal government. That's what the Constitution was.
Jefferson didn't even want a standing army. He didn't want a national bank. There are a lot of... All right, let me walk you through their differences of opinion.
Sure.
First of all, Hamilton favored a stronger central government because he believed, and this is true, that a stronger central government and a stronger executive power provides for more stability in government. You're less likely to have more revolutions, whereas Jefferson advocated for a very limited federal government because he was afraid that we'd turn into another Great Britain. We didn't want any more kings. He did not like the whole idea of a monarchy, and he always called or began to call Alexander Hamilton a monarchist. These are monarchists. Now you want a king, which is really not fair, but that's a method of arguing. You take your opponent's position and you take it to its extremity, then you call him a monarchist, and Hamilton could call Jeffersonian a Jacobist. I mean, in other words, call him a Jacobist from the French Revolution. You just want revolution after revolution after revolution. And indeed, Jefferson said that we need a revolution every now and then. It's natural manure. That's what he called it. The blood of revolution is a natural manure for liberty. So when what was going on in France, and it turned ugly in the French Revolution, Jefferson's saying, well, we don't like blood, but it's necessary. And Hamilton said, no, that's not necessary at all. Hamilton, Washington, Adams looked at what was happening in France and says, that's not what we want. Whereas Jefferson and Madison looked at it and said, oh, it's probably gone overboard, but it's not all that bad. They trusted the people, and they trusted smaller government. They trusted state governments more than federal government, and they trusted individuals more than states. They were closer to what we'd call today a libertarian. And there's arguments both sides of this. the Federalists wanted more stability, laws and order. And Jeffersonians, or known sometimes as Republicans or Democratic Republicans, wanted more individual liberty. I've heard people, many people say this: I don't need the government. Just give me my guns. I'll just be out in the woods and I'll operate on my own. And that's just naive. It doesn't work like that. No, you have to have government. You have to have government. Now, how much government? That's the question. In my view today, we have to have military. We have to have a strong military. Jefferson didn't even want any standing army because he was afraid they would do to us what the Redcoats did to us, coming in and barging into our homes and forcing themselves into our homes and cease to protect us but to subjugate us. So they were both going different directions when it came to that. One, Jefferson, more limited federal government. Hamilton, a stronger federal government. They had different economic visions. Jefferson wanted a country of farmers. These people that educated themselves and grew things. I mean, that was like the work of God in his mind. And he almost said it. These are the people of God that grow things and feed people and operate on their own. Whereas Hamilton wanted more manufacturing, more commerce. Hamilton was not only not afraid of debt, he wanted debt. He actually wanted debt. Why? He says, if we borrow money from foreign powers, they will be looking to us. They won't attack us because they won't get their money back if they attack us. We need a measured, not huge, but we need a national debt. We need banks. And Jefferson and a lot of people says, I don't like bankers. You know, he did not trust bankers. And Jefferson, is another point here, he was more what we call a strict constructionist. He says, where in the Constitution does it authorize a national bank? There's no national bank, and we don't need a national bank. That will cause more wealth to head toward the north where the banks are, and we'll start being ruled by the elite. Where Hamilton would argue, without banks, we're not going to prosper. We need commerce. We need trade. We need manufacturing. So there was that definite philosophical difference. And based on the loose constructionists of Hamilton, it's based upon implied powers. The last phrase of the Article 1 of the Constitution, implied powers, okay, do all those things which are necessary and proper. It's also known as the necessary and proper clause of the Constitution. We need a bank. We need a stable economy. We need currency. We need, Jefferson didn't believe that. When it came to foreign policy, they had arguments. Now, but let me back up and say this. They both were in the first administration of George Washington. And George Washington was friends with both of them. Obviously, Jefferson was from Virginia, and Washington knew him from back at the Constitutional Convention. The Second Continental Congress, which drafted the Declaration way back as early as 1774, they knew each other. But he also liked Hamilton, who had fought with him during the war. And he knew both men were brilliant. George Washington had this idea that we could sit down in a room and make our arguments, and he wanted to hear arguments. He liked that. Washington to clear his head and make decisions. He wanted to hear from both sides. And he was for that. And he knew that they had differences of opinion. But he didn't want their differences of opinion to go to the point where it became absolutely vicious. And after the death of George Washington, it did become vicious. Washington died in 1798. And after that, the disagreements that were open now became just attacks on each other, their character, their personal lives, and so on. And that is the way it is.
So this type of confrontational politics has been around for a long time, is what you're just saying right now.
Yes, Washington thought wrongly. He was wrong that we didn't need political parties. That we, you know, the spirit of party he talked about in his farewell address. No, he says it's a little bit of party, I guess, to check the other side is okay, but we don't want the spirit of party. We don't want people doing what's best for their own party or for their own personal political careers. We don't want that. And both Jefferson and Hamilton, I think they could see better than that. No, parties are inevitable. Disagreements are inevitable. Attacks and personal attacks are not necessarily inevitable, but make no mistake about it. That's a part of human existence, human history. People attack each other. And if it's for your benefit, the benefit of your party, you know, we're going to say this, that, and the other. And I see this on the news all the time, and I get it. I mean, if I could throw out Sean Hannity, I mean, it's just like, I don't want to watch an hour-long commercial for the Republican Party. I just don't.
No,
I'd rather not. No, I'm a Republican.
Well, first of all, you know, just to be blunt about Sean, he's very low IQ. He's very low IQ. He cannot think of a new show every single night. I'm so sick and tired of watching the same show over and over, 3 days in a row. He gets on a rant with Trump, and he can't get off of it. And I don't even know why anybody wastes their time even watching him anymore. I stopped watching him years ago.
I you know, there's others. They're on Fox. I watch Fox mostly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can. If a Democrat says something, just because they're a Democrat doesn't make it wrong. I mean, they you know, a stopped clock is right two times a day. So you got to evaluate what they're saying from a historical, constitutional, Christian perspective, and not immediately say that's wrong. And conversely, everything that comes out of President Trump's mouth is not necessarily right.
No.
It's not necessarily right. We support President Trump, of course, but
do you remember the debate with Kamala Harris?
Sure.
Do you remember at the highlights, if you search YouTube, highlights of that debate, go to about the 4-minute mark? They were talking about replacing the Affordable Care Act. And the question was point blank, so what is your plan? Well, I'm not president yet, but we're working on a plan, and when I become president, we'll roll it out. My question to Justin Michael was very simple. Why hasn't Donald Trump, because of the government shutdown over the subsidies to keep the Affordable Care Act going, why don't they roll out their plan right now? Why doesn't Congressman Jack Bergman press and lead and say, give it to me? Give it to the Senate. Give it to the Republicans and let us present your plan to repeal and replace Obamacare so that we don't have to continue these billions and billions and billions of subsidy dollars propping up the Affordable Care Act, which isn't affordable. I just got Officer Rick telling me $950 a month he's had to pay for his wife to be on the Affordable Care Act. I'm like, that's insanity. Been paying it forever, ever since she first got into the plan. Why don't the Republicans roll out Donald Trump's, quote-unquote, the plan they've been working on since the debate against Kamala Harris last year before the November election? This is the perfect time to show leadership and roll out your plan.
I can tell you two reasons. One, politically, it probably would not be popular. I mean, once people get used to receiving
$950 a month for Affordable Care Act? Right. You know what? Hold that thought. I want to hear this thought right there expanded, and I want to hear thought number two, second reason. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.